Hello, friends. This is Fred Dominguez. The world in which the New Testament was written was largely agrarian. There were other industries, of course, including fishing, certain kinds of manufacturing, various kinds of trades, and other forms of commerce. Nevertheless, everyone was familiar with the life of the farmer or herdsman. This is one reason why the Lord, and later his apostles and the other New Testament writers, used agricultural themes in their teaching. In the New Testament, then, the work of a farmer is a simile for the work of the Christian in the kingdom of God. In our time, the world is very different from the times in which our Lord lived and taught on the earth. While agriculture is still an important part of our way of life, fewer and fewer of us actively engage in this pursuit. As a result of this shift, some of us need help to understand the lessons that the Scriptures teach using agricultural imagery. For a few moments today, we will focus on one aspect of the agricultural imagery of the New Testament that bears upon our work of preaching the gospel. We will begin our study by looking to Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth. This was a church that he personally established during his second missionary journey. In Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through 11, Luke recorded the events surrounding Paul's work in that city and noted that Paul spent about 18 months there. At the end of this time, Paul left there and returned to the church in Antioch of Syria, from which he had been commissioned on that journey. In Paul's absence, the church began to deviate from his teaching and was embroiled in a number of serious problems. About 3 years after his departure from Corinth, news came to him in Ephesus about these problems, and also he received a letter from the church asking his advice on a number of questions. In response to these things, Paul wrote the letter that we call 1 Corinthians. One of the primary problems in the Corinthian church was the division that had occurred among them. This is the very first issue that Paul addressed in his letter to them. As he dealt with this serious problem, Paul used an agricultural illustration to show them that they should not divide over the one who had baptized them or over their favorite preacher. He prefaced this illustration with a strongly worded rebuke. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, he said, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not yet able, for you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly, and are you not walking like mere men? For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not mere men?" Now, by giving special preference to their favorite preachers, and by disagreeing about it to such a degree that they divided over it, the Corinthian Christians showed their immaturity in the faith. They had entirely missed the point of the role of the preacher in the Lord's plan for his church, and as long as they persisted in this error, they would not be productive in the Lord's service. For this reason, then, Paul identified the true role of the preacher in the work of the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 9, he said, "What then is Apollos, and what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but it was God, was causing the growth. So then, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God, who causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building." Now, as we consider Paul's statement, it is important to understand that neither he nor Apollos were guilty of stoking the fires of division in the church in Corinth. Apollos followed Paul to the work in Corinth and apparently was effective as a preacher. In Acts chapter 18 and verse 24, Luke tells us that Apollos was an eloquent man who was mighty in the Scriptures. He only knew the baptism of John, however, and when Aquila and Priscilla heard him preaching in Ephesus, they took him aside and instructed him more accurately in the Word of God. From Ephesus, Luke tells us that Apollos went on to Corinth, Acts chapter 19 and verse 1. We know that Paul did not blame Apollos for what had happened in Corinth, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, he said, "Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively applied to myself and Apollos for your sakes, so that in us you may not learn to exceed what is written, so that no one of you will become arrogant in behalf of one against the other." So we see that Paul used himself and Apollos to illustrate the correct view that the Corinthian Christians should have had toward their preachers. Now, Paul's illustration focused on the true source of growth in the body of Christ. Ultimately, he says that that source is God himself, not the preacher, whomever he may be. Notice again in verse 5 that we read a moment ago that Paul said that he and Apollos were only servants through whom the Corinthians had believed. Even in this statement, however, Paul said that the power was in the Lord who gave the opportunity to each of them to believe. Paul and Apollos then were only instruments in the hand of God by which he accomplished his purposes. The agricultural illustration is played out in the picture of Paul as the one who planted the seed and of Apollos as the one who watered the seed. We understand, of course, that it is not always the case that one farmer plants the seed and another one waters it. In actual practice, it is usually the same farmer who plants and then waters his seed. In the case of the work in Corinth, however, there had been two different farmers who tended God's field. The work of each one, although important, was not the decisive element in the results. You see, it was God who had caused the seed to grow in that place, and this was the lesson the church in Corinth needed to learn. If they were going to be loyal to anyone, they should be loyal to God, not to the men who were merely his servants. There is more to Paul's illustration that is bearing both on what was going on in Corinth and on what we are going to be doing or are to be doing today. Notice again in the verses 8 and 9 that we read that Paul said that the one who plants and the one who waters are one. In other words, they are equal to each other in God's plan. Each has a role to play, and these roles are equally important. All who plant and all who water are co-workers in God's field, and equally such. The only distinction to be made between these two sets of workers is the fact that each one will be rewarded based upon his own labor. Planters and waterers, then, are judged by God according to how they have done their work in his kingdom, which is his field. When we consider Paul's correction of the problem of division in the church in Corinth, the illustration by which he corrected their error has application far beyond the specific context of that church. The timelessness of this illustration is found in the fact that the work of a farmer is still a simile for the Christian walk. This truth is borne out in two ways. The first way in which a farmer is a simile for our service today is in the point that Paul made to the church in Corinth. Just as it was in the first century, we each serve in different ways in the Lord's field, which is his church. Some of us are seed planters, and some of us are seed waterers. As it was in Corinth, those who do these jobs are equally co-workers in God's field. Both works are necessary in order for growth to occur, for they generally involve the same details. Now, we often think of preachers today as the seed planters, and in some instances we tend to elevate preachers above the rest of the congregation because they are seed planters. In truth, however, all of us can be and should be seed planters to the extent of our God-given abilities and opportunities. We understand this truth because this is what the early Christians did, most notably in the persecution that arose in the aftermath of the stoning of Stephen. Acts chapter 8 and verse 4 says that those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Jesus in Luke chapter 8 and verse 11 said, "The seed is the word of God." Therefore, all of us are seed planters at some level. Seed waterers, on the other hand, nurture and support the seed that has been planted so that it has every opportunity to grow and to be productive. Apollos watered the seed that Paul had planted by preaching the same word that Paul had preached, and by encouraging and exhorting the Christians in Corinth to live by that word. Today, there are some among us who excel at encouraging others in their Christian walk. This encouragement nurtures and supports the seed of God's word that is at work in the hearts of their fellow Christians. This nurture, however, also depends upon God's word, which Jesus said is the seed. This work is just as important as seed planting, and is also something that at some point we each must do. Having established the equality of these two works of service, we note the second way in which a farmer is a simile for our service today. A farmer waits for God to produce the growth, and so do we as his spiritual farmers. In James chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, James said, "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it, until it gets the early and late rains. You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near." As Paul told the church in Corinth, one plants, another waters, but it is God who causes the growth. This is an especially important lesson for the church to understand. We sometimes judge one another on our productivity in the Lord. Has this preacher made many converts? Has this church brought many to the Lord? We look at the results and we may decide that this person or that congregation must not have been doing the Lord's work. However, the more important question is, has this preacher or that congregation been planting and watering the seed? If the seed has been planted and watered, then it is up to God to cause the growth. The absence of growth, however, does not mean that the seed has not been planted and watered, nor does it mean that God has somehow failed to do his part in the process. It simply may mean that the soil into which the seed was planted was not conducive to growth. The parable of the sower teaches this important truth. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 through 9, the Lord told this parable. He explained the parable in verses 18 through 23, pointing out that of the four soils into which the seed was sown, only one soil was productive. This soil was soft enough to allow the seed to penetrate it, and free from rocks and weeds that would keep the seed from being productive. When we plant and water the seed today, the nature of the hearts into which the seed is planted determines what growth, if any, will take place. You see, not every heart is open to the Word of God, and only those that are open will accept the implanted Word that is able to lead them to salvation. So, like the farmer, we must plant and water the seed wherever and whenever we can, so that God can cause the growth in those hearts that are willing to obey His Word. Now, a farmer who never plants seed will never reap a crop. A farmer who plants seed but does not water the seed will also never reap a crop. By the same token, a farm where sowers plant seed but waterers do not water the seed will never reap a crop. And as we consider these things, we have to ask ourselves, what kind of Christian farmer am I? Am I planting the seed, or am I leaving that for someone else to do? Am I supporting those who plant the seed by watering that seed, or do I only complain because there is no growth? These are serious questions that certainly deserve serious consideration. Friends, the Lord expects us to be farmers in His field, and He will reward us for how we did the work that He expects us to do. Paul and Apollos, we know from Scripture, did everything the Lord expected of them, and these two godly men were assured of their reward. Can we say the same thing about our own service to the Lord? Friends, we need to be Christian farmers. We need to take the seed, which is the Word of God, plant it everywhere we can in every heart possible. We need to water and nurture and encourage that seed to grow and be fruitful. And then God, in honest hearts, will allow that seed to grow and to flourish and to bear much fruit in His kingdom. Thanks very much for listening today. Please join us again next time for Let the Bible Speak.